are on the bottom of Tzadi Yomid Beis, 90B, right after the Mishnah. And really what we'll see today, I think, will come in two parts. The first part is the issue of Tadir and Mekudash. What do I do if one option I have in the carbon is to bring a carbon that occurs more frequently, and the other option is to bring a carbon that's of a higher level, that is of a greater Kedusha? And then second, a separate discussion about oil and wine and what exactly they are in the overall carbon universe. How do I view oil and wine, and what do I get to do with them? So first, this issue of Tadir and Mekudash, which has applications that go far beyond Karbanos. Right? It isn't just a Karban discussion. Iboyeluhu, question is asked of them. Tadir u'Mekudash, ezeman kodem. We said that if I have two Karbanos and one of them is Tadir, the Tadir comes first. And if I have two Karbanos to bring and one of them is Mekudash, then I bring the Mekudash one. But what do I do if one carbon occurs more frequently and one carbon is of a holier status? Rashi gives you the examples of dam olas tamid v'dam chatos. You have the blood of the carbon ola and the blood of a chatos. So on the one hand, the ola, I will say, is of a greater kedusha because the whole thing goes on the mizbeach. But the truth is, Tosfos rejects the ola and chatos example because he says, well, we already dealt with that, right? We have psukim and all that. But the point is, one entity occurs more frequently; the other entity is holier. He gives you another example in Rashi: Musaf of Rosh Chodesh versus Parhel of Darish al Tzibur. So what do I do? Tadir kodem mishum de tadir. Does the Tadir one automatically trump as a Tadir entity? Odama Mekudash Kadim de Kadish. Or do I say, no, you go with the one that is more Mekudash? The first three attempts that we bring to resolve this, we're going to bring six different ways to try to resolve the issue. The first three are going to revolve around Karbanos of Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov. Tashima, last line on Tzadi Yomid Beis. Tamidin Kodmin Lemusafin. We said that Tamid precedes a Karban Musaf. So if today is Rosh Chodesh, today is Shabbos, today is Yom Tov, I bring the Karban Tamid first. Does that support the idea that Tadir has precedence? The Va'afagav, the Musaf and Kaddishi, even though the Musaf is certainly holier, as Rashi says, Musaf and Shem Shabbos Alayin, assuming we're talking about Shabbos, so the Musaf is called a Shabbos Karban, Shem Ban Chovala, since it's an obligation that's unique to Shabbos, that's made in Ban Afbachol, and the Talmud would come even on a weekday. So that means that it's of a lesser status, much like we said regarding Shechita versus Malika, right? We said that Shechita is less of an Avoda than Malika, because Shechita is done even on non-Karbanos. So similarly, the Karban Tamid is done even on non-Shabbos Yom Tov days, to which the Gemara says, yeah, but once Shabbos starts, everything that occurs on Shabbos, even if it's not a Shabbos unique activity, gains greater Kedusha, which is a remarkable lesson in and of itself. The eating I do on Shabbos, l'maisa, I eat all week long, but eating on Shabbos is a se'udah of Shabbos. So similarly here, he says, "Atu Shabbos lemusafin ahanoi l'tamidin lo ahanoi." You think Shabbos affects the carbon musaf and doesn't affect the carbon tamid? It has a new character. It's a carbon tamid being brought on Shabbos. Similarly, the second approach, Tashma musafei Shabbos kodem lemusafei Rosh Chodesh. If today is Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, the musaf of Shabbos precedes the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. So what? Rashi explains Musaf Rosh Chodesh mikudash and mishal Shabbos deikri moed. I would say that the Rosh Chodesh Musaf has a greater kedusha than the Shabbos Musaf because Rosh Chodesh is called moed. Rosh Chodesh in Tanakh is taken much more seriously than people take it today because it has a carbon Musaf and there was a seuda and you would gather. Think Shaul and David and that whole incident in the Haftarah of Machar Chodesh. The midayim midei Chodesh bechodesh midei Shabbos b'Shabbatov. Rosh Chodesh was treated as a very special day. It isn't just that the high schools make the kids wear ties. So I'll say Rosh Chodesh is Mekudash, is holier than Shabbos, and yet Shabbos Musaf comes first because of Tadir. But he answers again, same idea. Adu Rosh Chodesh l'musaf and didei ahani l'musfei Shabbos lo ahani. You think that Rosh Chodesh makes its musaf holier, but it doesn't make the Shabbos musaf holier? No. Anything that happens on Rosh Chodesh has the name of a karban of Rosh Chodesh and has the special status. And again, we're going to do this in the third argument that they bring. Tashma, we're on the fifth one on Sadi Aleph Amid Aleph. Sorry, no chair this time. He says, Tashma, Musvei Rosh Chodesh Kodman LeMusvei Rosh Hashanah. The Musaf of Rosh Chodesh precedes the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Af Agav, the Rosh Hashanah Kacha, even though Rosh Hashanah is considered holier, and here Rashi takes it as a given that we'll understand that Rosh Hashanah must be considered holier. For Rosh Chodesh, he needed to explain it. Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't bother. The Adu Rosh Hashanah LeMusvei Didei Ahani LeMusvei Rosh Chodesh LaAni, to which their answer is, yes, it's true, Musaf of Rosh Chodesh precedes the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, Af Agav, the Rosh Hashanah Kacha, even though Rosh Hashanah is holier. Nonetheless, again, anything that occurs on Rosh Hashanah has the status of Rosh Hashanah. This reminds me of the discussion that the Gemara in Brachos has about whether I mention Rosh Chodesh in the bracha of the Haftorah if Rosh Chodesh occurs on Shabbos, right? Do we say, well, Shabbos is really what required the Haftorah? Or do I say that nonetheless, Rosh Chodesh will still deserve mention because today is also Rosh Chodesh? Or think of the Tefilas Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, which is Hanukkah. Right? Hanukkah doesn't warrant a carbon musaf. When I daven musaf on Rosh Chodesh, which is Hanukkah, I include Al Hanisim. Because that day has the full status of being a day of Hanukkah. The Margolius HaShas quotes the Strubzer on this, saying that that this applies to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Al Tomar Likshe Pana Eshne Shemaloti Pana. Don't say I'll learn when I have the opportunity. You may not have a chance. So he says that Mishnah is not talking about someone who doesn't want to learn Torah. It's talking about someone who says, I want to learn Torah when I'm in the proper frame of mind. The liksha apana, when I'm free of my anxieties and my distractions, then I'll really learn. So the Mishnah's response is, don't go for the Makudash. You're going for the Makudash state, you're never going to get around to learning Torah. Better to be tadir, better to be consistent with it. One other note, the Shem Yishmuel about Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos is remarkable. He says, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh are opposites. Shabbos is the conclusion of the Sheshes Yemei Amasa. You work for 6 days, and then you achieve Shabbos. And if you worked before Shabbos, then you get to eat on Shabbos. Shabbos is a culmination. Rosh Chodesh, on the other hand, is the first of the month. It's the beginning of something new. It's when the moon has just been dark, and now it's starting to grow. Rosh Chodesh is about the promise going forward. And maybe that ties into the idea that Rosh Chodesh is Mekudosh. Rosh Chodesh speaks to the future, where Shabbos is the culmination of what's already been achieved, and now you start afterwards with a blank slate. In any case, the bottom line is all three of these. Sorry, right? So Rosh Hashanah is the beginning also of even though it's a din for what came before, it's the first of the new. So maybe Rosh Hashanah combines the best of both, actually. Right? It's a din for the past, but it's also looking ahead. Okay, good. So these three attempts to answer the question don't work. So we go with the fourth attempt. We're about 8 lines down on Sadi Aleph Amid Aleph. Tashma, come in here from the following. Dabar Acher, we're walking into the middle of a conversation. Rashi explains it's from Psachim, where they're talking about the issue of the order of brachos in Kiddush. Right, Rashi says the Ka'amri Beis Hillel Mevarach Al Hayayin V'Achakach Mevarach Al Hayom Shayom Gorim Shayayin Gorim LeKiddush Shatei Omer. The Beis Hillel says you first make your bar priya gafen, and then you make your bracha of Kiddush, which is what we do. Right, we do bar priya gafen first, and then the bracha for Shabbos or Yom Tov, because without the wine you wouldn't be able to make Kiddush. Or whatever, even if you're making Kiddush on bread, it's the same concept. The bread is what makes Kiddush available. That's his first approach. Then the second approach is what our Gemara brings. Tashma, davar acher, alternatively. Birkas hayayin tadira, the bracha on wine is more frequent. You can do that any day. Ubirkas hayom eina tadira, whereas the bracha on the day is only occasional. V'tadir v'sheno tadir, tadir kodem. So the tadir one, the wine one, is going to have precedence. End of quote. So he says, Afagav de Birkas Hayom Kedisha. Even though the bracha for the day, I would say, has greater Kedusha. It's tied to Shabbos, it's tied to Rosh Chodesh. Well, not Rosh Chodesh, it's tied to Shabbos or Yom Tov. To which the Gemara gives the same answer that we just gave. Adu Shabbos, the Birkas Hayom Ahanoi, the Birkas Hayom Lo Ahanoi. You think Shabbos only affects the bracha of the day and not the bracha on the wine? Everything you do on Shabbos has a unique status as something of Shabbos. Even the bracha you make on the wine. Even though I could have made the same bracha, the same words, any day, it's categorically different when it's done on Shabbos. So we eliminate that argument. Same argument will come up a fifth time now. Tashma, come in here. Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Halacha mispalo adam shal mincha ve'achakach shal musafin. What do you do if davening goes really long? Okay, think Simchas Torah, right? The davening goes real long. This happened to us a couple of times in Allentown. We were davening on Simchas Torah, and just the hakafas went on so long, and the aliyos went on so long, that we reached Musaf after the earliest time for Mincha. And so the question then was, what do you do? Which do you do first? So Rabbi Yochanan says the law is, in fact, mincha before musaf. That's what you do, which creates all sorts of problems if you try to implement this. Do you do the ashrei after you go back to Sefer Torah? Where does the Kaddish go? It's a big mess. I don't recommend it. But he says mincha because it's tadir, and then musaf because it's mekudosh. So does that not show that tadir is before mekudosh? To which the Gemara answers the same answer. Adu Shabbos l'tfilas musaf and hanoi l'tfilas mincha loa hanoi. You think Shabbos makes the musaf special but not the mincha? Everything you do on Shabbos is special and has Shabbos status. So that was our fifth attempt to prove tadir versus mekudosh. We struck out on all five, and now we have a sixth attempt from our discussion about the Karban Shlamim. Remember that in the end of yesterday's Gemara, in the Mishnah actually, in the end of yesterday's Daf, we talked about the Shlamim that came to the Mikdash yesterday. To clarify that case, because I'm not sure I explained it well when we did it, the Shlamim that we were talking about as yesterday's Shlamim was brought to the Beis HaMikdash yesterday, but it wasn't shechted, and then it got shechted today. And the question now is, do I eat that Shlamim before a Shlamim that was brought to the Beis HaMikdash today? And shechted today. Is there any precedence because it was sitting in the Beis HaMikdash first? Or what if it was the Shlamim from yesterday that went through that experience and now it's today's Chatas and Asham? Same question. So that's going to come into play here. Tashma. Shlamim shel emesh. I have the Shlamim that came to the Beis HaMikdash yesterday, was not shechted yesterday, it's only shechted today. Chatas v'asham shel yom. And I have the Chatas and Asham of today. Which one comes first? Shlamim shel emesh kodmin. So the Shlamim from yesterday proceeds. End of quote. So he says, Ha'idi v'idi diyom. The implication is that if both of them were from today, the Shlamim was today, it wasn't brought in yesterday. If the Shlamim was from today, and the Chatas and the Asham were from today, Chatas v'asham kadmi. The Chatas and Asham would have precedence. V'apagav the Shlamim tadiri, even though the Shlamim is more tadir. Now what does he mean by saying the Shlamim is tadir? If you see Rashi tadiri, they are more common because you can vow those. Our understanding is that people bring fewer karbanos chatas than they do karban shlamim. This will be a very interesting study in practice. Do people give more out of guilt, or do they give more out of a voluntary donation? They just choose to give something. But that's the statement. So therefore, shlamim is considered tadir. We're warping the definition of tadir. No, the Mishnah didn't address that case. The Shlamim of today and the Chatas and Ashram of today. That's what he wants to say. He wants to say that based on our Mishnah's comment that the Shlamim of yesterday precedes today's Chatas and Ashram, that means the Shlamim of today would not precede today's Chatas and Ashram. And therefore, Mekudosh, Chatas and Ashram, precedes Tadir. We're warping Tadir. Tadir no longer means more frequent. Tadir now means that which you have the opportunity to bring more often. And you're going to see more of that in the next couple of lines. So Amar Rava answers, that's not what Tadir really means. Matsui ka'amrit. You don't really mean Tadir when you're describing the Shlamim that way. You're talking about Matsui. It's more common, meaning it's more commonly available. You don't have to sin in order to bring one. Tadir kamabayalan, Matsui lo kamabayalan. I had no questions about Matsui. For sure, Mekudosh comes before Matsui. Okay, so Chatas and Asham will come before Shlamim. My question is only about Tadir, and Shlamim is not Tadir. So Amalei Rav Huna Bar Yehuda LaRava, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda says to him, wait a minute, Atu Matsui Lav Tadir? Matsui and Tadir are the same thing. Tadir doesn't mean that you'll see it every day. Tadir means that it's more commonly available as an option. And I'll prove it to you. Vatanya, I have a brisa that says, regarding Karban Pesach and Bris Mila. Otzias haPesach she'eino tadir, v'lo otzias haMila she'hi tadira. Rashi tells you this is a Medrash in Taras Kohanim regarding the Chatas, where it talks about what you would bring if you missed the chance for Pesach and Mila. So he says, I'm quoting the Brisa that Rashi quotes from Taras Kohanim. V'ray Pesach uMila anushin kares. Karban Pesach and Bris Mila are those are the two mitzvot asay for which one gets kares, right? There are 36 los asays. There are 36 krisos, 34 los asays and 2 asays. The Pesach and the Mila. Yochol yavi al shigas and chatas. I might think if you made a mistake and missed Karban Pesach, missed Bris Mila, you bring a chatas. Tamalam rasha lo se asena. No, the pasuk by Karban Chatas says if you did something you weren't supposed to do. Yatsu Pesach and Mila shin mitzvot asay. As opposed to Pesach and Mila, those are mitzvot asay. Those are do not count. You don't bring a carbon pesa. You don't bring a carbon chatas, excuse me. And now comes our part of this medrash from Taras Kohanim. Otzias haPesach she'eno tadir, below Otzias haMila she'tadira. I might say, you know what? The Pesach doesn't warrant a carbon chatas because it's not tadir. The Mila requires a carbon chatas because it is tadira. So you see, the word tadir is used regarding bris Mila. It's not true that we do a bris Mila every day. It's just that it's matsui. The opportunity is there. So you are melding together matsui and tadir, and so I can do that regarding the shlamim. I can call the shlamim tadir just like you call the bris milah tadir. That's his argument. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily. My tadira, what does the word tadir mean when we use it regarding bris milah? Tadira be mitzvos. What we mean is it has more mitzvos. It doesn't even mean more frequent at all. As Rashi says, Rashi takes the word tadir as a product of the word seder. That's its own question. What's the etymology of the word tadir? Is it from dira? It dwells here. It's always here. Or is it from something else? He says, sedura b'mitzvos. It's more ordered in mitzvos. Shenechrasu alah shloshes rebrisos v'tzivuyin. Because you have 13 brisos, like the Gemara in Shabbos says, regarding bris milah. So that's what makes Pesach, that's what makes milah unique. The Iba Yisema, alternatively, I'll tell you, Mila legabe Pesach ki tadir damya. You're right, Mila really is matzoi, it's not tadir. But if you compare it to Karban Pesach, it's tadir. There will be many more bris milas in the course of a year, God willing, than there will be Karban Pesach. That's just the way it works. So it's a yachasit term, it's a relative term. So again, what have we accomplished here? Our debate was, sorry?
Close to your Sameach, that basically yeah. Said it's tadir because it's something that's permanent.
Right. If you take tadir like the meaning of dar, that it lives there, then certainly permanence would be important. And so he's saying, why? He's saying, you know, you did it once, and now you have a mila every day, so to speak. That's a very interesting explanation. You're kai mitzvahs every day.
Another way of looking at it.
That's a very interesting approach.
Mila once, we have Pesach every year. So.
Right. The bottom line out of all of this discussion is that I wanted to know tadir versus mekudash. Right, which one would have precedence? We dumped our first five applications of it. We tried to prove it from the fact that today's shlamim versus today's chatas and asham, you would do the chatas and asham first. That means mekudash comes first. We argue that maybe the shlamim really isn't tadir, and the end result is that maybe you can use the word tadir for the shlamim, and in that case, this will be proved. Either way, we now move to the second question within our first half of the daf, and the next one is: what if you messed up? What if you had a tadir, the tadir should have gone first, and you shechted the non-tadir first? Oops. This comes up outside of Karbanos all the time. The Yelas HaShachar, Rav Steinman quotes the Shagas Aryeh with the question of, you're benching, it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and you start saying Yalav Yavo before Ritzeh. What do you do now? Do you stop saying Yalav Yavo and start saying Ritzeh? Because Shabbos is the tadir. So therefore you should say Ritzeh first. However, the Yalas HaShachar says it's not really similar, because in Yalav Yavo, until you say the words Yom Rosh HaChodesh Hazeh, you haven't actually said anything that's about Rosh Chodesh. It's just a generic tefillah. And once you say Yom Rosh HaChodesh Hazeh, everybody agrees you wouldn't go back to Ritzeh. Another case, though, that does come up, the Ramah discusses in Ar Chaim, in Tafresh Pei Daled, is the question of Hanukkah, which is Rosh Chodesh Teves. What if they bring out the two Sifrei Torah and they make a mistake and start reading the Hanukkah reading first? They're supposed to read Rosh Chodesh first. Rosh Chodesh is Tadir. What if they started with the Hanukkah Kriya? So they have a whole discussion there, and they try to tie it into our Gemara. And Rabbi Kiva Eger has a piece in Zvachim Nun Aleph, whether it's really relevant. But this is a standard question. What if you didn't do what you were supposed to do? Which, frankly, is a theme song for all of Zvachim, right? What if you didn't do what you were supposed to do? But but that's our question here. Tadir versus Eino Tadir, and you started on the Eino Tadir. Ibay Elohu, halfway down the page. Tadir versus Eino Tadir. The kadim b'shachat l'sheino tadir. You shechted the non-tadir first. My, what do you do? Me, Amrinan, do we say, kevet d'shachte makriv lay, you did the shechita. Finish off the karban now. Oh, dilma yoyev la'acher d'mamaris b'damo adem makriv lay l'tadir. Maybe not. Maybe you give the dam to somebody else who sits there stirring it, stands there stirring it, while you take care of the other, the tadir karban. V'adem makriv l'sheino tadir. And then continue with the non-tadir, right? Think Yom Kippur is stirring the dam while you're waiting. So, Amar of Huna Misura, we're going to bring four attempts to try to resolve this. Our first attempt, Rav Huna of Sura says, Tashma, come in here. From our Mishnah, Shlomim Shal Emesh, we said, if you have the Shlomim that came to the Beis HaMikdash yesterday and was Shechta today, versus Chatas V'Asham Shal Yom, Shal Hayom, Chatas and Asham from today, that got shechted. Shel emesh kodem l'shel yom. So we say yesterday shlamim comes first. End of quote. So indicating hadiyom dumya de emesh. That means that my assumption is that the chatas and asham you're talking about for today is at the same stage as the asham from yesterday. Vehichidami, what's your case? Dekadim shachte l'shlamim. It's where you shachted the shlamim first. Chatas v'asham kadmi. And you're telling me that the chatas and the asham proceed. In other words, it's where both are shechted, and what you're telling me is that the chatas and asham, if we were dealing with today's chatas and asham, would in fact come first. So he says, not necessarily. Maybe the case where it's yesterday shlamim and today's chatas and asham is what case? That you shechted them both, and now they're both in front of me. Not that I already shechted the shlamim. But if you didn't shecht both, you only shechted one, then indeed you would have a question. So maybe our Mishnah that talked about yesterday's shlamim versus today's chatas and asham is talking about where they're both shechted, not where I already shechted the shlamim. And therefore you can't deduce anything for the case where they were all of today and I shechted one already. So don't prove anything from there. Tashma, coming here from the second case that we're going to bring, which is the Kiddush discussion. Again, Davar Acher, we said, Beis Hillel says, you do the Bar Beragafen before the other bracha of Kiddush, because Birkas Hayayin Tadira, or Birkas Hayom Eina Tadira. The wine bracha happens all the time. The bracha of the day does not happen all the time. V'tadir v'sheinu tadir tadir kodem. Once again, and Rashi explains the application here, V'av agav v'sheinu tadir kodem uba. Rashi is on the fifth wide line. Even though the non-tadir was there first. Shekvar kidesh hayom v'dayin yayin lo ba, right? Shabbos started before you had the wine in front of you. Yeah, but the point is that we can apply it here. Our assumption is that Shabbos is there before the wine is. So that's just like the case in which you shechted the non-tadir first. So the fact that we ignore Shabbos, even though Shabbos is present, would indicate that I would ignore the shechted karban, even though it's already shechted. I would ignore the non-tadir, even though it's already shechted. To which the Gemara answers, no. Hachanami, here too. Dekevan de Asin kemadeshchiti trabayu dami. Since right now I have the opportunity for both the Bar Piragafen and the Birkas Hayom, it's like having two shechted karbanos in front of me. It's not like where I already shechted the non-tadir. So again, we haven't been able to prove anything. That's okay, we have a third source. Tashma, the Milcha and Musaf discussion. Dam Rav Yochanan. Halacha mispalo adam shal mincha v'achar kach shal musafin. Rabbi Yochanan says yidavin mincha first and then yidavin musaf. So again, will I be able to argue musaf preceded? You could have davened musaf before mincha. So therefore, it's like when you shechted the non-tadir first, because musaf was available first. No, hachinami kevin dematis man tefilas mincha kamad shchidi trabayu dami. Same thing. The time is up. Now I have the time for both of them. I view it as having two shechted karbanos in front of me. So number three is gone. But number four is different. Amalei Rav Acha Breid Rav Ashi L'Ravina. Rav Acha Breid Rav Ashi asks Ravina, look at the following source. We learned regarding the Karban Pesach, Shchato Kodem Chatzos Pasul, right? It's the 14th of Nisan. I shech the Karban Pesach in the morning. I wasn't supposed to do that. Disqualified. The pasuk says Beinor Abayim. Now what's supposed to happen is after Chatzos I shech the Karban Tamid and then I shech the Karban Pesach. What if I switch them? Kodem L'Tamid, if I did it after Chatzos but before the afternoon Tamid, kosher, the Pesach is okay. Ve'imamareis b'damo achiyizor kadam. And you stir the dam until you get a chance to sprinkle the dam of the Karban Tamid. Indicating to me that where I shechted the non-tadir, I shechted the Karban Pesach, I make the non-tadir wait. I take care of the tadir, go do the tamid, and then come back to the non-tadir. So does that resolve my problem then? To which he answers, no. What's our case? It's where I actually did shecht the Karban Tamid. Before, as Rashi says, before I asked any questions, I shechted the Karban Tamid. So I have two shechted karbanos in front of me. Amalei Rav Acha Savala Rav Ashi. Rav Acha the elder says to Rav Ashi, must be Zinami Deka. That fits with the language of the case. Diktani Achi Yizra Kadam, or Achi Yizare Kadam, Veloktani Achi Yishchod V'Yizra Kadam. Shema Amina. Because it says, wait with the Karban Pesach until you've done the Zrika of the Pesach, of the Tamid. It doesn't say until you've done the Shechita and the Zrika. So that implies that the Shechita was already done. So you can't prove anything from there. So the upshot is, we do not have an answer from our Sugya of what you do if you started on the non-Tadir and then made realize your error. Because all four cases that we brought were where you had started on both. And now the question was, what do I do? That word Beresha back there probably didn't belong. Rashi actually took it out. It's not a matter of which one I shechted first. It's a matter of that I brought both of them in front of me at this stage. So that concludes our discussion about Tadir and Mekudesh. There's a ton more we could say about it, but there's just no time. So we move to the second half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf deals with a problem. We know what karbanos are. Okay, we know you have animals you bring as karbanos, you have birds you bring as karbanos, you have flour products that you bring as karbanos, right? But what do you do with oil and wine? Are those carbon material, or are they only adjuncts to karbanos? That's our fundamental question. We're going to start with oil and eventually move on to wine. Mishnah gives us two... Sorry? Oh, sorry, I jumped the line. Ukulin going in Rosh Hashanah. My time, what we said, why is it that you're able to eat karbanos in any form you wish? Amar Krux, the Pasuk says, Limoshcha, these are the karbanos that are be Limoshcha, meaning for greatness. As Rashi says, the Targum on it is Lirabu, Ligadula. The anointing is for greatness. Kederach Shamalachim Ochlin, like kings eat. So the default is Tzaliyah. You roast it, but if you want to eat it in some other way, you eat it the way a king does. The king says, bring it to me this way, and that's the way they bring it to him. They don't say, sorry, you must eat it in a certain way. Okay. I gave it to you for greatness. Right. Okay. Om Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says, first type of oil. Im ra'isa shemen shumis chalek ba'azara. If you see oil being distributed for the Kohanim to eat, Rashi says, in the Azara, ein tzarech lishol mahu. You know what kind of oil this is. You don't need to ask. Elamosa rekike minchos yisra v'lok shemen shal mitzora. It's leftover oil from the minachos that Yisraelim were bringing. As Rashi notes, if you have chalos, then you mix all the oil into the dough. However, if you have rakikin, then you actually take the oil and you make a pattern on of anointing on the rakik. Rashi gives you kamin ki, the shape of a key, and then the kohanim eats the rest, if it's a Yisrael's mincha. Or, v'log shemen shal mitzora, it's the oil of the mitzora, the leftover oil, which again, the kohanim get to eat. So he says, oil gets eaten in two cases. If it's leftover from a Yisrael's mincha, or if it's leftover from a mitzora's oil that he brings for his purification. And then second, in Ra'isa Shemen Shunitan al Gabi Ha'ishim, if you see oil that's going on the fire, on the Mizbeach, Ein Tzarech Lishol Mahu, you know what that is, no need to ask, Ela Mosa Rekike Minchas Kohanim, it's left over from the Rekikim of the Kohanim, because the rule regarding Mincha of the Kohanim is that everything goes on the Mizbeach. Umilchas Kohen Mashiach, or the Mincha of the Kohen Gadol, which he brings on a daily basis. Shein Misnad Vin Shemen. And the reason why you know this is because there is no such thing as voluntarily giving oil just stam. So therefore you know, if you see it given, distributed to the Kohenim, it's from those cases. If you see it be going on the Mizbeach, you know it's from this case. That's it. Easy. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Misnad Vin Shemen. Rabbi Tarfon says, absolutely not. He says, there is such a thing as a nedava of oil. And so now what the Gemara is going to want to know is, according to Rabbi Tarfon, what do you do with this nedava of oil? What does that mean? Is it like a regular karban? What is this? Is it going to go on the Mizbeach? Is it going to be distributed? So Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, L'diver Rabbi Tarfon, ha-misnadev shemen komtso ushiarav ne'acholin. According to Rabbi Tarfon, that you can donate oil, what you do is, you take a kometz of it, right? You do the kmitza on it, and put that on the mizbeach, and the rest gets eaten. In other words, oil is like any other mincha or karban. Right? Part of it goes on the Mizbeach, not any other, not like an Ola. But part goes on the Mizbeach, and you eat the rest.
How can you make a comet on oil?
Yeah, that's quite a trick, isn't it? The Gemara discusses it, but not here. But yes, that's what you're doing. You're doing a kmitza. You know how? Yeah. My time, what's the rationale? Omar kra korban mincha, because the pasuk actually says korban mincha, not regarding oil, but regarding minachos. It says korban mincha, the word korban is extra. That teaches me about another type of mincha, which is oil. V'chi mincha, and it's like a mincha. Ma mincha komtsa, just like for the mincha, you take a kometz, ushiare nechalin, and the rest of it get to eat. Av shemen komtsa, ushiare nechalin. So too the oil, we're going to treat it the same exact way. That's his point. That's his statement. So Rabbi Zeira and Abaye are going to disagree based on our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, Av anan nami tanena. I learned about this, that you could volunteer oil and the rest will be eaten by the Kohanim, because we learned in our Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Im Ra'isa Shemesh Shemeschalik Ba'azara, Iyata Terach Lisha Ma'u, Ela Moser, Rekike, Menechos Yisrael, Velog Shemesh Shemetzara, She'ein Misnadvin. He says, Rabbi Shimon said, you don't do an Adava, and therefore if it's distributed to the Kohanim to eat, you know it's from X and Y case. Implying, Michlal, demand Amar Misnadvin Mischalik, that if I did say you could volunteer some, it would be distributed. Right? The first part of our Mishnah said that if you see it being distributed, you know what it is, because there's no such thing as an Adava. Implying if there was such a thing as an Adava, it could be distributed. That's Rabbi Zeira. To which Abaye says, yeah, but you have to read the second half of our Mishnah. Amar le Abaye, Ema Seifa, look at the end. Emra Isa Shemen Shenitan Agabe Ishim, Iyata Tzarech Lishlamahu. We said that if you see oil on the Mizbeach, on the fire, you don't have to ask. Elamosa Rikike Minchas Kohen, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, it's from the Kohen, the Minchas of a Kohen. Shein Misnad Vin Shemen, because you can't volunteer oil. Michlal, I can deduce from there. Dilamandama Misnadev Kulam Ishim, that according to the view that you can volunteer it, it all goes on the fire, right? I see it on the fire, it must be X and Y, because you can't donate. That implies that if you could donate, it would go on the fire. So, Labaye Kashirisha, Labizera Kashirisefa. Right? They have opposition from each side. No. Bishlam al Rabbi Zeira. You can resolve Rabbi Zeira. Resha Bishirayim Seifa Bekometz. Rabbi Zeira will tell you the Resha is talking about the remnant that will be distributed, and the Seifa that said if you see oil on the fire, that's talking about the Kometz. It's not talking about the rest of it, of the Nedava. The Kometz of the Nedava would end up on the Mizbech, not the whole thing. El Abaye Kasha, but Abaye can't make a similar answer regarding the Resha, which said that Shemen is distributed. Saying Shemen is distributed automatically means that you're not eating all of it. That you're not burning all of it, I should say. So he says, Tana Resha Adu Seifa. So Abaye will say, you know what? You're right. However, that language was only used in the Resha. That Ein Misnadvin language was only used in the Resha because you're going to use it again in the Seifa. Bishlam a Seifa Tani Mishum Resha. To which the Gemara says, do you do that when you write a Mishnah? You predict, I'm going to want to use a certain language in the end, and therefore I'm going to tailor the beginning to match that. He says, I get it. That sometimes we'll change the Seifa to match the Resha. Ela Resha Mishum Seifa Mitani. Do you do that? Changing the Resha to match the Seifa? In, yes, you do, actually. Rava, they said here it's Yisrael, Tana Resha Mishum Seifa. He gives you a quote. In fact, you've seen that already in Zvachim. We saw instances where the language in the Resha was tailored to match the Seifa. So this is not unique to here. But we haven't answered who's right. What would you do if you could donate oil? Would it all go on the Mizbeach, or would it be split? Tashma, come in here, from the discussion regarding Yayin, regarding wine, and this is going to try to support Abaye, who says that the whole thing goes on the Mizbeach, that oil is not a mincha that you get to benefit from. Yayin, kediver Rabbi Akiva lesfalim, shemen kediver Rabbi Tarfon leishim. Rabbi Akiva is the one who says, you can donate wine, you can't donate oil. Really, everybody agrees you can donate wine. Or Rabbi Akiva says, only wine. So that's why we attribute this to him. Rabbi Akiva says, you bring wine to the Mizbeach, you pour it into the troughs on the Mizbeach. No one is drinking it. Oil, following Rabbi Tarfon, who says you can donate oil, le'ishim, it all goes on the fire. End of quote. So my love, midiyayin kulo lesfalim, from the fact that when he says wine goes into the troughs on the Mizbeach, he means the whole thing goes into the troughs, shemen kulo le'ishim, so oil must be entirely onto the fire. Right? The source we just brought didn't actually say that explicitly, but that's what the implication is. We're paralleling wine and oil. Wine is all in the troughs, oil must be all on the Mizbeach. To which the Gemara says, who made such a parallel? Me the Iria. Haki the Isa, Haki the Isa. Each one is its own law. Wine is all in the troughs. Oil is partially on the Mizbeach. I could just as easily say that. So we dump that approach. Amr of Papa Kitanoi. So we get to Rav Papa. And Rav Papa says, you know what? You can actually match this up to a Machlokes Tanoim. As follows. And here Rav Papa brings the source and then is going to contradict it. And in order to explain it, you need to remember two principles. Don mi no mi na. And don mina v'oki basra. Don mina umina means the following. I link cases A and B with a gzera shava, for example. Okay? Then don mina umina says A learns the law in question from B, and also learns other laws from B. We expand what we do with the limud. Don mina ba'oki ba'asra literally means learn from it, but keep it in its own area, in its own space, means A will learn a certain law from B, but for all other issues, A does not learn from B. So when I have Xeris HaKasav on a particular point, linking two topics, do I deduce everything? Do I make a bridge that you can take everything across, or not? That's going to be relevant for what Rav Papa is going to do here. Kitanoi, machlokes tanoim. Shemen lo yifchos milog. Rebbe Omer shloshes lugin. Shemen, the Tanakhama says, if you're bringing oil, you never bring less than a log of oil. You made a vow you're going to bring oil to the Beis HaMikdash, and everybody here is siding with Rabbi Tarfon that you can donate oil. Okay, this is within Rabbi Tarfon's view. The Tanakhama says no less than one log. Rebbe says no less than three log. The Maikamiflagi, what's this machlokas about? Amru Rabbanan Kameder of Papa. So the Rabbanan said before of Papa, don mina umina, don mina voki ba'asra, ike benayu. The debate is the don mina umina versus don mina voki ba'asra discussion. That's exactly their machlokas. The, what do you mean? The Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan say, Ma mincha misnadvin af shemen misnadvin. They say, you learn that you can dedicate oil based on the fact that you can dedicate a mincha. Right? So therefore, that's the, so therefore, there are menachos that are as little as one log of oil. So therefore, you can also do a voluntary donation of oil of one log. Umina, I'll deduce from there, ma mincha log shemen, afkan log shemen. The mincha is a log of oil. So too, you volunteer oil, it could be even one log. And now I'll add in, domina umina, continue to learn from mincha. Uma mincha komtso shiare nechal, and af shemen komtso shiare nechal. And just like a mincha, you take the komets on the mizbeach and you get to eat the rest. So too the oil. The idach, whereas Rebbe's view will be, mi mincha, ma mincha misnadvin, af shemen misnadvin. He says, the only thing I learned from korban mincha is that you can donate oil. That's it. Va'oki ba'asra, now you keep oil in its own space. Kinesachim, what is the space of oil? It inhabits nesachim territory. That's it. Ma nesachim shloshes lugin, well, there are nesachim that are three log. Av shemen shlosh lugin, so too, shemen three log. Uma nesachim kun laspalim, and the nesachim, like the wine, get poured entirely into the troughs. Av shemen kulon laishim, so too, the oil is entirely destroyed, going on the fire. That's the idea that he wants to present. So, Rav Papa says, aha, you can apply this. However, then, Amar le Rav Papa le Abaye, Rav Papa says to Abaye, wait a minute. Im mi mincha maisi la Rebbe, dekule amadon mina umina. El Rebbe me ezrach gamar la. He says, you know what, that doesn't work. The whole argument doesn't work. Because I reject the idea that it's a domina umina, domina voki ba'asra debate. Because Rebbe didn't learn it from Korban Mincha, that you'll now say he's debating how much to learn from Mincha. He actually learned it from a separate Xeris HaKasav altogether. The Pasuk says, ezrach, kol ezrach yasakacha es eile. That's what he gets it from, and it has nothing to do with deducing from analogy to mincha. So we drop that. Amar le Rav Huna Breder of Nasan Rav Papa. Rav Huna Breder of Nasan says to Rav Papa, really? Mi matzis amrit hachi? Can you really say that? Vatanya, I have a brisa that says korban mincha is the pasuk melamish nesnadvin shemen, teaches me you can donate oil. The kama, and how much? Shlosha lugin, three log. Uman shamale damar shlosha lugin. And who is it who says three log? Rebbe, v'kamaisi lami korban. He's bringing it from korban mincha. Don't tell me he learns it from Ezrach, he learned it from Korban Mincha. And in that case, you're back on. It's Domina Mina versus Domina Boki Basra, and that'll answer our question. Our question of whether oil goes on the Mizbeach or not is predicated upon the discussion of how much I learned from Mincha. To which he answers, Amar Lehi Tanya Tanya. He says, okay, if you have a bright, so good. I'm okay with that. I don't mind. And that's the end of that piece of the discussion. And they now begin a new discussion. Do we have five more minutes, or should we stop here? We're all right? Yes. 5 more minutes. Okay. Omer Shmuel. Now we move to the wine discussion. You want to pour wine on the Mizbeach when you donate it. Omer Shmuel, Misnadev Yayin, if you donate wine, maybe you mazalfo agabe ha'ishim. He says, no troughs for me. You actually pour it on the fire on the Mizbeach. My time, why? Omer Kra, the Torah says, V'yayin takriv la nesa chatzayin ishei reach nichoach l'ashem. You shall bring wine, ishei reach nichoach l'ashem, on the fire. So the Gemara says, "Vakam achavi," but you're putting it out the fire. The Damas Vachem says the Torah prohibits me from putting out the fire on the mizbeach entirely, but this would be like a chatzi shir thing. You're putting out part of the fire. Yeah, but kibbuy v'mixus lo shmei kibbuy, and the answer is no. Kibbuy v'mixus doesn't count. So the partial extinguishing doesn't count. Eni, to which the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Hamorid gachas magabi mizbeach lekibachayev." You're liable if you take a coal off of the mizbeach. That's partial extinguishing, and you're liable. Yeah, but that's different. That's Deleka Elahai. That's if there is no other option, if there is no other coal on the Mizbeach, you've now extinguished the entire Maracha. Iba Yisema, alternatively, keep with the Mitzvah Sha'ani, where you're doing it to pour wine on the Mizbeach, that's a Mitzvah. And maybe that justifies the partial extinguishing. As opposed to where you're just removing a coal.
Tasha.
So yes, and Rashi says, actually on this, that's why it's not a Psik Reishe case. Precisely for that point. He says you could do it that way, but that's something we're going to come to in a little bit. Tashma, a second attempt at proof. The Tana of Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Klape shanas na Torah lisrom, yachol yechabe v'yisrom. Since the Torah says, do Trumas Hadeshen, maybe if the Kohen shows up to do Trumas Hadeshen and there are embers that are still burning, he'll be allowed to expedite the mitzvah by putting out those coals. That's what I might have thought. And we're taught, no, Amrit lo sichbeh. The Torah says, it shall not be extinguished. You have lo yichbeh perhaps in your Gemara, but it's a mistake. It should say lo sichbeh. That the fire shall not be put out. So doesn't that prove you're not allowed to do kibwe even for the sake of a mitzvah? Sha'ani hasam, that's different. Why? Efshar diyasev v'nata, because you could sit and wait until they go out on their own. Whereas for the wine, I can't wait for the fire to go out to pour it on the mizbeach. Tashma, come in here from the following, and this will come back to your question, Yaakov. The Yayin Kediva Rabbi Akiva Lisfalim. Actually, no, the next one will. Shemen Kediva Rabbi Tarfon Leishim. He says, what do you mean? Why are you asking me this question? We learned already that wine goes into the troughs. Finish, it doesn't go on the fire. V'o to Tanya, and further, I have another brisa that says, Yayin Nesach Lisfalim. The wine you pour into the troughs, away to the ishim, or not, or perhaps it goes on the ishim. This is not a source about us. This is yayin nesach, wine that's brought as part of a karban, not the wine that's in a dava. So yayin nesach doesn't mean yayin nesach avodah zara either. Yayin nesach means wine that's coming with a karban, goes into the troughs or on the fire. Amrit lo sichbe, and they quote lo sichbe as proof that it goes into the troughs. End of quote. So this is Lokasha, no problem. Why? Harab Yehuda, Harab Shimon. It's a machlokas of Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon about Davar Shein Miskaven. I don't intend to put out the fire. Putting out the fire is not a guaranteed result, Yaakov. Because I could do it in little drops, so it's not a Psik Reishe issue. And it's a machlokas of Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. How do we feel about Davar Shein Miskaven? If you say Davar Shein Miskaven is usur, then you can't do it. If you say Davar Shein Miskaven is mutter, then you may do it. That's the argument that they want to bring, and we'll pick up with that. We're in the middle, but it's okay. God willing, tomorrow. Thank you.